compare our lives with. Rather, they are promises. I mean, we are told that if the Spirit is in you, this is the fruit of the Spirit in your lives. And we have a hard time with that, don't we? Because, you know, you go, okay, if this is the fruit of the Spirit in my life, why am I, Mike Jennings, so impatient? And that's, I mean, that's a difficult question, isn't it? We could say that about each one of these things, but I think of all the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to talk about, this is probably one of the most challenging, because it's something that I think we can see in many ways. And, you know, I think of the study of economics. There's two aspects of the study of economics. Well, there's more than two, but what are they? Micro and macro, right? And patience, there are micro elements of patience, and there's macro aspects of patience as well. So we're going to get into those today, and you know, I'll just start off before we start looking at passages to help us define this. What is patience? What are some things? So we'll just put some words up here as you. What is patience? Yeah, okay. Yeah, long suffering. I'm just going to put it over here. Right? That's one. What else? John?
Endurance.
Endurance. I started too low on this board. I'm going to tell you that right now. Yes. I think I'm just going to, we know this. I'm just going to go up here. Okay, what else? How else would you define patience? Wait. So we'll say wait. So waiting. Okay. Diane? Okay, so you want to say trusting in God, or in God's providence? Okay. What else? Yes.
Aaron.
There you go. So a long exercise of, are you in college or something? What's going on? What's that? A long obedience in the same direction? Okay.
yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Herman.
Is therefore Lord, to be patient, and you to be now.
Oh,
yeah. The opposite of that.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and here's what I was thinking. You know, we'll look at our definitions. I think that's probably the most common definition, waiting for something, but you know, we have got our dog trained to stay. And he'll wait as long as he's not doing it patiently, I can tell you that. He wants to move. So I think it's more than just waiting. I think this definition right here by Aaron, I think this is an excellent definition, but yeah, maybe some more in the back. Sorry, yes, John? What's that? Okay, deferred fulfillment, okay. Or delayed gratification. Whatever.
Gratification?
Did they give you some free meds? Sorry, I had to say it.
Tim.
Tolerance.
I think we're... Tolerance. And then, Eric, did you have your hand up? No. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to read a definition. This comes from a Dutch Reformed theologian, Wilhelmus Abrakel. And he wrote a book called The Christian's Reasonable Service. And I just read one chapter, and it's on patience out of that book. And he defines patience from the Greek word, which has kind of two meanings, but the meaning that he chooses here is to overcome suffering. So he wrote that the essence of patience consists in the enduring of affliction willingly with composure, joy, and steadfastness. So I'll read it again. The essence of patience consists in the enduring of affliction willingly with composure, joy, and steadfastness. So, I mean, that actually kind of raises the bar, doesn't it? Enduring affliction willingly. So not just because you have to. Like my dog, it would be great if I came home someday and my dog was actually sitting there waiting without me having to tell him. You know, he's waiting willingly and he's enduring great affliction with composure, joy, and steadfastness. So, I mean, but that's something that he can't have. That's something that we have. Through the Spirit. I'll tell you what. Let's take a few minutes. I'll let you look through Scripture if you can find some passages related to this concept of patience. And remember that the aspect that we're looking for is that which in God's Word defines patience as its true essence. So similar to what Wilhelmus Brockel is saying, I mean, there's a lot of examples of people exercising patience in Scripture, and we'll talk about some of those, and those can be valid. But I'd like to see, you know, what does Scripture say? Where does patience come from, and how is it, as its core, at its essence, truly defined in God's Word? So if you want to take a minute to look through your Bibles. And then we'll write some of those passages down. I have a few of them written down, but I want to hear what you find.
Did you write down 2 Peter?
Part of it I did. Where?
Well, it says, makes a list, and it tells us the great and precious promises we can partake of the divine nature.
Right.
It comes from Christ. But then it says, on this very moment, you get all diligence to add to your faith virtue. And virtue knowledge. And knowledge self-control.
Right. Right.
To self-control, perseverance.
Right. Patience. Definitely has an aspect of patience,
and
right?
Go to the ultimate, it says godliness. And if you have godliness, then you have brotherly love.
What chapter in 2 Peter?
Oh,
is that?
First chapter.
2 Peter 1. Okay. So I'll write that up now. And that's, it comes from faith in Christ. Does anybody else have any? Okay, Cindy. Okay, so he's... Give me the... No, just can you read it? Okay. Okay. his glorious power. Glorious power. Which? What? Okay, that's good. That's interesting that both words are there, right? Long suffering. Right, it could be. Yeah. And it could be that, like, Wilhelmus Abrakel took the Greek word for long suffering and. Because there's just a slight variance there. And I don't know if you two guys that have Greek texts with you, if you can tell what the difference is between patience and long-suffering in Colossians 1:11 is. But if you get a chance and you can look at it, just let us know. Robin? Yes.
And so I have an opposite of patience. So
okay.
And I think about that because if we wait on the Lord, and I know we just haven't asked for it by waiting.
Yeah.
But sometimes we are called to wait.
Right. Okay. I saw a hand. Well, Karen and then Troy. Okay. Troy? And that's James 1, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, that's excellent. Yeah, that's, I think it's a great verse. Alyssa. Patiently for the Lord. Okay. A couple more, because I can't go much lower than that. So, Diane? Okay, just a second. Romans 8, 23 to 25. Okay. Hope for what we do not see. Don't see. All right. And then John, that'll be it.
John 37:7.
Oh. I I think that's an excellent verse. Okay, one more. I won't write down. So that's good. That goes back to what we had talked about when we were talking about joy, the joy set before Christ. Okay. So, yes. This one? Oh.
Yeah, the Romans 8.
Yep. Okay.
I think that's the translation. I think there is a Romans passage where it says we wait for it.
Right.
You're waiting and you're doing it with long suffering. You know it's going to take a long time.
Right. That's good. That's good. And I think, I mean, if we go back to the definition that Abrockel gave us, there's an aspect of willingness. There's an aspect of joy. In there, you know, so there's different ways that you can wait, right? There's different ways to be patient. But I, you know, we're going to try to get to really what should guide our understanding of patience. Yes, Rebecca. Right.
Right.
I mean, it's an interesting dilemma, right? You're asking the Lord to hurry, but you're demonstrating faith in Him, knowing that His timing is perfect, right? You're showing a desire for what? For what He has promised. So He's promised these things to come. So there's this aspect of asking Him to hurry, right? But a willingness to wait patiently, enduring whatever lies between now and the time that He chooses to answer. Yes?
Melissa? Would the heart's response to what Rebecca is talking about, would it be instead of the heart of anxiousness and asking, you have the heart of the fullness of His peace? So
right.
You might be asking for the situation to be changed, but you also are asking in peace. You're not asking, please hurry, very, very,
right, and I think, I mean, if we take a look at the heart that is filled with the Spirit, you're going to see peace, you know, in those seemingly anxious moments, and you're going to see joy in the face of suffering and sorrow. I mean, you're going to have that. And like I said in the beginning, that's something that we should be praying. You know, when we pray, there's a lot of different things that we can pray for, but one of the things that we should be praying for is that God keep His promise of providing these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We should be saying, you have promised, you've given us your Spirit to grant us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, so on and so forth. Lord, I want to see more of that. And acknowledging that it only can come from within, from the Spirit that is in us, and it doesn't come from our own might. But it's calling on the Lord to to fulfill his promise that he's given to us. Yes, John. Right.
Realizing all his terrible circumstances, but I'm looking to the Lord to be the one to correct the situation.
And we're going to get to why that's possible. So I always like to take everything down to the brass, you know. But before I do that, yeah, go ahead. Right. And that's... So that's the voice of the martyrs, those that have been killed. They're waiting for the Lord's justice to come about. Okay, so that brings us back to what I always like to do and take it all the way down. You know, we can talk through many layers before we get to the origin of something. What is the origin of patience? Is it just something that, or impatience, or whatever, you know, this notion. What is the origin of it? Well, trust, but trust implies, you know, it implies a couple things. It implies that there's somebody that's, yeah, and then there's something that they're trusting in. So, yes.
It could be like hope, because you know there's something to wait for.
Okay.
You're not despairing at the moment, because you know that there's something good in the future to look to.
Okay. That's good, but I think that's part of it. It's definitely part of it, so there's hope. Yes, Diane.
We actually look to God for his character and nature.
Bingo. And in fact, it's we need to look there to see why, how this even exists. So we look to God for his character and patience. Right? So that aspect of his character. How do we know from God what patience is, James?
Because we know he loves us. And he's our Heavenly Father. And he knows what's best for us, whether it's waiting,
okay,
bringing us trials, or bringing us prosperity. It's always in our best interest.
All right.
He's patient with the wicked. Come on.
Go ahead, say it, Rebecca.
He's patient with the wicked.
All right. Exactly. I mean, if you think about it, God has demonstrated the supreme example of patience. You know, he does not suffer. In his character, is there sin? Is there wickedness? Is there anything like that about God? No, but why are we still here? Why aren't we just gone? I mean, he just wiped out. Like, you know, an Etch-a-Sketch. That's over. Let's try this again. Yeah. And yet, God has been long-suffering. He has been patient. He has been forbearing. I mean, those are all words that we can think about. So, you know, if... And here's one good example. 1 Peter 3:20. God saw the evil of man... But he waited patiently while Noah built the ark. You thought about it? I mean, God saw in Genesis 6, he saw that, what? All the thoughts and intents, the heart of man was only evil continually. So we need to get rid of man. Why didn't he just, again, the Etch-a-Sketch would have been, that would have been the time he could have done that. But he said, no, I have this plan, and it has to do with Noah building an ark. Well, how long did it take Noah to build the ark? We don't know exactly. We know that he was 500 years old when his sons were born, and he was 600 years old when they got into the ark. So, but I mean, just if you look at the logistics and the engineering and all that, and the amount of lumber, it had to have taken years and years. So God said, okay, I'm gonna get rid of man. Ready, go. And how many years later before, God didn't go, okay, speed it up, Noah. Let's go. I want to get rid of these people now. He was very patient, long-suffering in waiting. He is slow to anger over our sin. I mean, if you think about how many times and how many places we see that in Scripture, I think a really good passage is Exodus 34:6. And you can turn there if you want to, but 6 and 7. And the thing that's interesting about this passage, the Lord is with Moses, and he proclaims something about himself. The Lord proclaims something about himself. The Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and so on. But here the Lord says that about himself. He says that he is slow to anger. If you think about that, that's an aspect of patience, isn't it? You know, because at least in my experience, most of my impatience results in anger. I mean, it's an anger issue more than anything else. It can be toward elation. I want something really good to happen, and I want it to happen quick, but it's usually, being impatient about an outcome or something that results in me being upset over it or angry over it. But God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, meaning that love never changes, and keeping steadfast love for thousands. Yes, Diane. Right. And we're going to get to that in just a second. Romans 2:4 tells us that it's the riches of God's patience that leads us to repentance. How is that? I mean, what does that mean? It's the riches of God's patience that leads us to repentance. How does God's patience lead us to repentance? Troy? There you go. Did everybody hear that?
No.
Okay, speak up, Troy. That's an excellent answer. Right, and I think it goes all the way back to what, John's explanation for the larger catechism question that we had today, that it's, the Holy Spirit that God gives us to work in us that faith. And part of that is convicting over our sins, to see that all of these things that we have done deserve God's punishment. And yet God has chosen not to punish us. And so that patience, that deserving of punishment that didn't result in punishment, is an example of God's patience. Can you think of any other examples in Scripture, kind of types? Now, Diane mentioned Christ. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But any other examples of patience in Scripture that are... Job. Okay, now, here's the interesting thing. How was Job patient? I mean, he's like, you've got the patience of Job. What does that mean?
Putting up with his three friends.
Yeah.
He was remarkable. He said, if he slays me, I will praise him. And what am I going to do except good from God and not evil? Who said that?
I agree. But if you take a look at Job 6, 8 through 12, let's... No, wait, just a second. Is that where I want to go? Yes. Job 6, 8 through 12. And let's see what Job has to say about his patience. Job 6, 8 through 12. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God will fulfill my hope, that it would please God to crush me, and that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. This would be my comfort. I would even exult in pain unsparing, for I have not denied the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should wait? And what is my end that I should be patient? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh bronze? Have I any help in me when resource is driven from me? So you see here, even in Job's life, he experienced the end of his human ability to be patient before the Lord. You know, he's saying, there's an end to the human aspect of patience. And beyond that, like you said, the righteousness of God was in Job, and that's what caused Job to endure through the loss of everything and still not giving up in the Lord. So that steadfast love that describes God is the love that Job had for God. It was steadfast. It endured even all these trials. Just as God's love for us is steadfast, enduring our sin, Job's love for God was steadfast, enduring God's trials. Right.
He said in the end of it, I've had some of this. He says, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. What does that do for you? You have an experience like that.
Right.
The love of God is poured out by the
Spirit. Right. I think that's talking to this. The essence of the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God poured out in our hearts, is the Spirit Himself. Yeah, Alyssa.
Just for another example, I think of David.
Okay. Right. Okay. Waiting for God's timing. Right. Okay, some other examples. Yes, right.
Jacob.
Okay, what was Jacob's?
He worked for Laban for 7 years for Rachel, got Leah, worked for Laban 7 more years to get Rachel, so he worked 14 years.
14 years. Right. And as far as we can tell, he did so willingly and without any complaint other than going, what? You didn't tell me about this?
Yeah.
Okay.
He did it with joy. Yeah.
Yes.
And it says that the days went. Like that.
That's right. Yes. Troy?
Joseph.
Okay, so, and I was thinking about this. How is Joseph a picture of patience? And this is, you know, these things we're talking about are on the macro level, you know, as opposed to a specific event being impatient with something that's happening today. Long term. So, how was Joseph patient? Right, over a long period. Well, so let's talk about what period of time were you talking about? He was 17 years old when he had a dream. And that dream was what got him in trouble with his brothers and thrown into a pit and sold into slavery, and it just started from there. So how old was he when... So this dream was, your brothers are going to bow down before you, which, you know, had a lot of connotations to it. You know, if you look at Genesis 37 through Genesis 45, it's a long period of time before God brings that dream to reality for Joseph. But he waited patiently and was faithful, steadfast. His love for the Lord never endured through many trials and tribulations. Okay. Right, he was looking to the needs of others. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Did you, John?
So much of the whole thing about having the patience, ultimately putting your trust in God to fulfill things that he's promised. His promise to take care of you.
Right. Right.
The things in the past that he's done to take care of us. So I think of the children of Israel and the bringing them out of Egypt and straight away, and this is even that is a fulfillment of the promises that were given to Abraham.
I mean, I think our tendency is to think about God as, oh, he just wasn't paying attention. You know, he was looking the other way while they're doing these things and just didn't realize that they were off track. Or maybe even, well, what other choice does he have? I mean, we're his only choice, so he can't give up on that. I mean, and we do that. We presume upon God's true patience. I don't think we understand. And I was thinking of, a couple years ago on April Fool's Day, on April 1st, there was a spoof about Amazon. I don't know if you've seen this. You know, think about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, same day delivery, next day delivery, all that stuff is just amazing. So they came out with yesterday delivery. You heard about this? And they went through the whole process. You know, a guy calling them and said, hey, I just got this box. And they said, yes, you ordered it tomorrow. And you go, wait a minute. How? You know, so... Our impatience over getting things is just really, and the gratification, somebody said deferred fulfillment or whatever I said, and delayed gratification. The world is pushing us to instant gratification, instant fulfillment. And you know, our understanding that we, when we look to the Lord and his patience and what he requires of us, and not only that, but what he gives us in his spirit to hold fast to those promises, you know, we should not take for granted. So I only just got a couple minutes left, and I want to say how, and this was mentioned, how did Christ demonstrate patience for us to see in the flesh? Anybody think of anything? It's easy to overlook it. You know, you just read it, you take it for granted when you're reading the Gospels. But yes, Thomas? Right. And we talked about the Holy Spirit's role in that. The Spirit drove him to the wilderness. And I think that means You know, he was driven to do his Father's will, and the Spirit made that possible in his life. Okay, James. Okay. Well, he willingly suffered those things. Well, I mean, how about his disciples? I mean, any of them. I mean, any of them. You can pick any of them and say, why did Jesus could have gone around and gotten all the most righteous, the most learned, the most knowledgeable, you know, put them through kind of an interview process like we do now, right? You got to be qualified. You got to stand in line or whatever. No, Jesus just, he picked people that, just like you and me, and he was very patient with them. I mean, that's an example of him exercising patience just by choosing somebody that he knew wasn't like him, wasn't perfect, was a sinner, had struggles, didn't understand, said silly things, and yet he was patient. Some other examples. Yes, Alyssa.
All the times that people would come to him and bring him six people, and maybe right. He was en route somewhere else, but he always stopped, addressed those
right.
Cared for them, and bypassed them.
Right. Do celebrities do that now? I mean, if you think about it, people that are very popular and have crowds pressing in on them, what do you hear more these days about those situations? You know, bodyguards, stay away from me, no eye contact, all that. Yes, Aaron.
Yeah, even children, too.
That's right.
You know, this is something really important.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we know how trying little children can be, and you think, well, here's the master. We don't want to bother him with these squawking children or whatever. And he said, no, this is important. Yes. Right. Definitely. Yeah, he could have, brought judgment down upon them. Yes, Tim.
Yeah. Doing all the work. Martha, Mary is sitting, having the one thing needful. She's sitting under the word.
Right. Yes. Even in correcting her in that situation, he was patient and explained to her. Okay, so we're going to close with this passage. 1 Timothy 1:16. If you could turn there. I want to make sure. 1 Timothy 1:16. Okay. And this is Paul. He's talking to Timothy. Well, I'm going to back up to verse 15. I'm going to 1 Timothy 1:12. Sorry, got to keep going back. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a pretty good guy, a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed to me with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. So Jesus calling Paul was done to display Christ's perfect patience, and through that give an example to others who might be as far away from the Lord as Paul was and were to believe in him for eternal life. So, I mean, I think us just being called from darkness into the marvelous light of the Savior is the supreme example of Christ's patience. And every one of us benefit from that. So let's close in prayer, and then if you have any questions, you can come up. Father, we thank you that you are long-suffering and that you have been forbearing with us, all of mankind, throughout the ages, but even us, that you have called out of darkness into life, into light, through your Son, our Savior. And we thank you that your love for us is steadfast, never changing. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, and we pray, Lord, that you would grant us the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that it would cause us to truly walk as new creations in Christ, that you would give us patience, that we would see that fruit born in our daily lives, in the small things, as well as we look to you for the long-term future, our hope in eternity. May that have an overwhelming effect in our outlook and how we deal with those around us, preferring the benefit of others over ourselves, and so glorifying our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.